Good morning, everyone. Well, today I want to try something a little bit different. I guess you could probably call this a podcast, maybe, thing. I guess that's what you might call it. But it's a Monday morning drive. I am on my way to work in my car and driving through Harriman State Park on the way to work. If you've never been to Harriman State Park, it's in upstate New York, not too far upstate. It's in Rockland County, so pretty, maybe a half hour, 45 minutes from the top of the Bronx, like the northern border of the Bronx. And I just, I figured this would be a good time to record. I have so much downtime. I drive for 45 minutes, so I can record 45 minutes of content, which I highly doubt I will, but I figured a Monday morning drive-in would be a good episode, a good little thing, because I could kind of just go over what I did over the weekend, whether it's playing games, the games that I played, games that I introduced to my family that aren't necessarily really heavy gamers. And also, I brew beer on the side, so I like to, well, I home brew on the side. I could go over, you know, a recipe that I have in my fermenter, or a recipe that I made up, and I'm about to do next weekend. But today, I wanted to go over the games. I was at my mother-in-law's birthday party. And she just turned 67, I believe. I'm pretty sure it's 67. But I like to bring some games over to the party to just try and introduce more games to my family, my in-laws. And it's always fun to see what they like and don't like. So every year we go on a ski trip to Mount Snow in Vermont. And I brought a few games then, but it's the games that we've typically played are really short card games, Uno, but Skip-Bo was another one that we played. I think I pulled out Ticket to Ride once, which is really the biggest game that we played as far as complexity. But yesterday, I wanted to bring and kind of test the envelope a little bit, because this one is not something that I thought they would like, but I wanted to introduce them to a different type of game. But I brought Once Upon a Time. And if you don't know what Once Upon a Time is, or you've heard of it and you don't know what it's about, Once Upon a Time is a story-driven or storytelling card game where your story is going to start out with Once Upon a Time. It's whoever starts first says Once Upon a Time, blah, 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 blah. So you're going to have a handful of cards in your hand, and they're going to be like places, person, place, thing. They have interrupt cards. And what the whole goal of the game, oh, there's one more card too. You have an ending card. So the whole goal of this game is to tell a story using your cards in your hand. And it's the reason why I didn't know, I love the game. Like, the game is super fun and it's simple, and it's just like, it gives you, at the end of a story, if you're playing with a good group, it gives you like an actual good story that you've created with this group. But bringing that to somebody or a group of people that aren't typically into something like that, where you're trying to just make a story or telling a story, that like campfire stories that you're just making up. But I was super surprised that they liked it, like really liked it. And they really got into the story and making up really interesting things. So let's back up a little bit now to go back over what you do in this game. you have cards that will have, say, dragon, woods, forest, cottage, and you're using these cards to tell the story and shape the story, and you're trying to eventually, everybody has an ending that they're trying to get to. So everybody's trying to shape the story so they can first discard all of these people, place, things, you know, cards in their hand, and then finish and round off that story with the ending that they have, and that's how you win the game. You discard all of your cards and end the game with your ending card. And the stories that they came up with, like, we had some crazy stories where it would start pretty typical of like a fairy tale. Like, there was a cottage in the woods and there was a little fairy, but then all of a sudden, because people are just trying to discard these cards, and you, all of a sudden the fairy was married to a dragon whose father drowned in a swamp somewhere, and the story just like spirals out of control, and it's just very fun, the stories that they came up with. And it was, again, it was just super surprising that this group of people, ones that I sit down and typically play Monopoly, Ticket to Ride, Skip-Bo, Uno, Yahtzee, these people were into this storytelling, story-driven game and actually good at it. I had my nephew, he's 30, actually he just turned 13, he actually wants his mother to buy him it because he liked it that much. And it was very rewarding. We have another birthday party, so the family's a huge family. And it feels like, at least during the summer, we don't ever have like a free weekend to just kind of relax. It's always go, go, go with my wife's family. So this weekend we have another party, and I'm thinking about bringing that again. I'm not sure. There's so many other party games that I could bring. Secret Hitler. I have actually brought Secret Hitler before, and that was mixed. I would say half of the group really liked Secret Hitler, and the other half really they didn't. Which, too, but that's surprising to me because Secret Hitler, that's like my go-to party game is Secret Hitler. But I thought maybe like, I don't know, Ultimate Werewolf, or I don't know. There's another game that I have. It's similar and it's not very well known. It's called Manicdotes, and that's another kind of story-driven game where you're given these words. And you make a story and you have to put these words into that story. And then the people have to guess what the words are that you were supposed to put in the story. So if you had the words bus, let's see, I just throw some stuff out. Bus, flower, road, and tree. And you're like, so I was going to work and I had to take the bus. I remember really seeing some beautiful flowers on the side of the road. There was a tree in the background, and I can't even remember what the other word I said was, the road. But the road, it was just, the road was so bumpy, and even though the scene was so beautiful, the road was very bumpy. So then, after that story that I just told, everybody's writing down these words and trying to guess what words they are, and then you ultimately, you know, score points off of who guesses the most words right. And it's an interesting game, but it's definitely not Once Upon a Time caliber. It's Once Upon a Time kind of sets, at least for me, sets that bar for party storytelling type game. And make sure you definitely you tell me what you think I should bring. So I'm gonna try to have this up soon. So probably Tuesday, Wednesday ish. Whether it's on YouTube, and I'm not really. This is my first real thing, so I don't know exactly how to get it onto a podcast, onto like a Spotify or a Google Podcast or anything. So I'm gonna have to research that a little bit, but. Maybe I'll definitely put it up on Facebook and YouTube. But I really want to keep slowly introducing these games to my family and trying to get them to play more, like to really open up. Because a lot of families, they just start out, and I know I was one of them. I started out, we always had board games growing up, but it wasn't ever like, so Catan, I was born in 85. So when Settlers came out, it was 95, I believe, is when that game came out, won the Spiel des Jahres. But I didn't even know what that was. Like, I was 10 years old. It was a huge board game, and it's still, I mean, my cousin plays that pretty much, I would say, once or twice a month. Like, they love that game, but I had no idea what it was, because we would always go to those big box stores growing up, and we would buy we had Monopoly, and I refuse to buy Monopoly now, and they just keep throwing out different types of Monopoly, and the only Monopoly game I would buy is probably the original. If I could find a complete original Monopoly, I would buy. Or this one's interesting if you've never heard this story, but in World War II, they actually used to use Monopoly, like the board and pieces and in the box, to like help prisoners of war. So they would smuggle in these Monopoly games and kind of like a map to help them escape. So if for some reason you could find one of these smuggled Monopoly boards that they used in World War II, I would probably sell my house for it, because it's worth that, I would assume. That would be the other Monopoly game that I would buy. But I would never, like, I just, a month ago tomorrow, my daughter was born, so I'm not going to introduce her to that game at all. Instead, and I just put a video on Facebook. Instead, I'm just going to introduce to her to the games, like, I don't know, just more simple and more gamey games, like Monopoly. I don't like at all. But the two games that I put on Facebook and on YouTube, that I, because I'm selling my collection and well, not selling my collection, but downsizing my collection, because I have a pretty small game room now. And the two games that I talked about were Roll For It and Quick Pick. And Quick Pick's not really gamey. It's more for when she's like 4 years old, you know. She's really, really young, and the whole point of that game is there's like these monsters on cards, and it's just their face, and the person, whoever's person's turn it is, they're going to be trying to mimic a face on there, and then the people around the table will then slap their hand down on the table and try to pick what face she's trying to make. So that's not really, that's more of a fun game to teach her young, just to get her to the table. But one of them that I know, that I definitely know I'm going to teach her, is Roll For It. Because Roll For It is a great game. You learn kind of matching, you learn numbers, you learn a real lot of simple things with that game. And most importantly, you learn that you can win or lose. Like, that's growing up as a kid, you have to learn that you can win or lose. It's the facts of life. And And I think that those games are going to be one of the first that I teach her. But as far as those big box games or big box store games, the ones in Target's actually stepped up their game, but I'm not going to, there will never be a Monopoly game on my shelf for her. I want her to play games. So let's loop back to, let's go back to the original, the topic of introducing my in-laws to new games. I want to do kind of how I'm going to introduce my daughter to these games. I want to do that with them because there's so much out there that it's unbelievable. Then, especially now, right? With you know, the birth of Kickstarter, however long that, just games are left and right. They're just constantly coming out. And there are duds out there, and some duds make awful good pitches, and you end up buying them, and you find out that they are duds. But there are tons of good games out there. Like, you think of a game like Gloomhaven. Like, that's not even something I would think of. That game is so... That's a video game on the table. And it's not... It is overly complex, but that's because of how much is actually there. So there's just so much that you can do. And in order to, if you were to try and fit Fallout, I mean, actually, to take Fantasy Flight did, and it was nowhere near as good as I was hoping, but it was good, but it's just not Fallout good. If you tried to put Fallout into a board game and everything that you can do, it would just be super, super complex. And that is what Gloomhaven is. It's really Fallout in a board game, or an open world game in a board game. That's not something like D&D where you're sitting around the table just making it up. There's actually boards and stuff that you can see. And it's games like that are ultimately what I would really like to bring my family to. And I don't see, I mean, Gloomhaven's probably a pretty poor example because of how crazy it is, but games like that. So another game that I brought, we didn't play, we only played Once Upon a Time, but I did bring a few games. So I brought Spyfall, which is another social deduction game that I tried to kind of steer away from because only half of the group really liked Secret Hitler. And I just assumed that if they didn't like Secret Hitler, they probably won't all like Spyfall. I brought Dark Souls, the card game. And I did get a few hits. The good thing about like Dark Souls and a game like Dark Souls and Fallout, and they have a Doom game, I believe, and a Gears of War game, is I find it a lot easier, and they can be pretty complex games, but I find it so much easier for people that don't play board games but play video games. So like Gears of War, my brother-in-law and his family, they're hardcore, like Xbox, like Gears of War. Which one's coming out? Gears of War 6, 5, 30? I don't know. Whatever Gears of War is coming out this year, they will be in line to get that. That's how they are. They love the game, and it's a great, great franchise. They had a few crappy games in the middle there, but the first, second, they were all really good games. So if I was to bring Gears of War, the board game, that's something that I might be able to get them to play, even though it is a little bit heavier. But my goal is to bring them to that. So you introduce them with these little games, these, you know, Once Upon a Time, which really is, it's not too much. There's structure, but there's not. Like, you're just sitting there telling a story and laughing. That's the whole point of it. But if I can get them to play Dark Souls, which is it's a heavier type game, like the card game, but it's not something that's overly complicated. It's a pretty straightforward forward battle game, and it introduces them to a co-op type game where you're working together instead of every game that they play that's you're always trying to win. Instead, you're trying to win together. And that's next. I will bring that next weekend. And if this is actually continues to be a thing, I will tell you how that goes. But that's my goal is just to, and there's promise. There's definitely promise because they ask me if I'm bringing one, and I try to siphon through these games that I know that they won't play, like Castle. If I bring a Dungeons and Dragons game, they won't play. I could bring a game just like it that's not Dungeons and Dragons, and maybe they would play because there's just that there's that thought like, oh, that's a Dungeons and Dragons. It's a bunch of 45-year-olds in their parents' basement, and or it could be the cast of Stranger Things. But it's not. I try to pick my games wisely when I bring them, and bringing these party games are good. And then I will slowly start introducing. So I have, let's see, Seven Wonders that I could bring. That's, you know, it's a little bit more of a game that will definitely introduce them to a little more of like a deck build, or not deck building, but like hand building, or yeah, I guess it is deck building aspect and mechanism in a game. But that's the goal. Like I want to have weekly game nights with my family. And if I keep doing this, I feel like I might actually get there. Like is that a good goal? I feel like that's a good goal. Let's go back on. I mean, I said I would talk about stuff that I'm homebrewing now, and I just spent a half hour, so I'm almost halfway to work. So 20 minutes to a half hour talking about board games. I'm a homebrewer, and I love homebrewing, but I have made some really, really crappy homebrews, really like contaminated, everything from contaminated to just tasting like crap. About a month and a half ago, I made this Citra. If you know anything about, and if you don't, look these up, because if you drink, craft beer and you see these types of drinks, you'll see them. Like they'll be like Citra hop or something like that. So there's two hops that I used for this IPA. I used what's a Citra hop, which, like the name, it gives it like a nice citrus flavor. But I also used a hop called Target. Now, they're both citrusy type hops. Like they're super, super, like they taste like, I'm not gonna say they taste like an orange, but you get the hints of that acidic, citrusy, you know, taste. And so I brewed this beer. I did a few addition of hops during the boil, and I dry hopped. Once I dry hopped Citra, and once I dry hopped Target. So if you don't know, because really this is almost learning. If you've never heard of any of this, or you just drink it, so you add these hops, and depending on when you add them in a boil, so you usually boil your beer, or at that point it's called wort, you boil it for 60 minutes, and depending on when you add your hops, will contribute to the bitterness of the beer. So say I add a whole bunch of hops at 60 minutes of the boil, so once it starts boiling, that beer is going to have a good amount of bitterness, depending on the hops and stuff, but I won't get into that. But it's Yeah, it's a super, like, sorry, I got sidetracked. I saw somebody crossing the road, and you know, my attention span is terrible. But, yeah, so depending on, it's like almost like a game of chess when you're just trying to play with these hops and get the right amount of flavor that you can pull from the hops and bitterness. Because later on in the boil, you'll start pulling out the flavor and aromas of the hops. Where when you crack open or you go to, say you go to a craft brewery and they put that beer in a flight and you start smelling it, that will be from either later addition hops, like toward the end of the boil, or the dry hops. And you'll get a lot of those aromas from the dry hops. But what I made was this Citra hopped IPA. It's a Belgian style IPA. I used wheat, two row malts, which is just a barley, and some darker malts, but I won't get into that. But it came out like so good. I brought a few beers to work and shared it with people. I brought it to a party before that, and I had people at my family try it, and it was so good. And the problem is reproducing that, because I love it. I have one every night now. But when you're a home brewer, it's really hard. You don't have all of these tools at your disposal where you can put something and keep it at the right temperature. You're just kind of like a caveman in your basement making beer, like in the 20s. It's very hard to reproduce it without spending a whole lot of money. And my setup is nothing. I have a nice conical fermenter, but other than that, it's a kettle that I just put basically sugar in for that I'm extracting from these grains. So it's not super awesome. Like it's I wish it was much better than that, but it did. It came out great, and it's by far the best beer that I've tried, or that I've not tried, but brewed. Now I have another one in the fermenter now that I brewed, and that's going to be just a. I tried to make like a clone Blue Moon type thing. So I know my brother-in-law really likes Blue Moons, and I know it's not going to come out like that, but. That's the hope. And already I'm checking like my gravity of the beer and stuff. And it's not, the color's good, but I just don't think it's going to end up all that great. But yeah, that was my weekend. So you're pretty much filled in with 2 days of my life. I do have a lot of hobbies. So when I'm not filling my weekend schedule with board games and beer, I now have a 1 month old to kind of take care of. So they don't just take care of themselves, you know? So it's becoming harder and harder to do your hobbies, and that's life. that's just how things work out. But I definitely don't regret any of that, and I'm super happy. Like I get home from work, and it's nothing but joy when I get home and I see Charlotte, that's my daughter's name. I see her just laying there on a couch and in her little Dock-a-Tot that we bought. But there's nothing more rewarding than that. It's very nice. But that's it. I'm about to pull into the parking lot. So this actually went pretty quick. I'm going to listen to it to see how many times I said or stuttered, or how much downtime I actually had in this episode. But I hope you guys listen to it. It's really just my weekend life. So I'll do this every Monday morning. And it's really easy to do to record, because I just have a microphone in my hand and I'm just kind of talking while I'm driving, and it gives me something to do. Actually, I kind of want to do this every day. But until next time, play more games. And I guess if you brew more beers. Good day.